Basic first aid is a big one. Navigation too. Like it's so common, I think, especially for like people in my age group, that they don't know what direction they're going. And just having a better understanding of the sun and the stars and how that actually works is really beneficial for a lot of people.
Welcome to Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff, where we interview newsmakers, storytellers, and all-around interesting people. Sit back, relax, unless you're driving, and enjoy the show. Here's Jackson.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Jackson Huff. This is Not Enough. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, really appreciate it. This week, speaking with Holly Robertson. Now, Holly is kind of a combination of several people I've talked to in the past. She is a kind of a nomad, a traveler, somebody who lives in a caravan, which is kind of like, you know, like a mobile trailer. I don't think hers moves much anymore. I think it's from like the 70s, so older. It's kind of stationary at this point. But she's somebody who is definitely somebody who's one with nature, one with, I guess, kind of being out there and in the potential danger. And I say potential danger because Holly comes to us from Australia, where, you know, I don't think it's necessarily a stereotype to say there's a lot more dangerous stuff there than there is here where I'm based in the United States. But Holly actually has the distinction of being the youngest person to own a survival school in Australia. So we're going to talk about what that means. What's a survival school? What does she teach these people that have the good fortune of coming out and learning from her? She talks about what the bush is, something I wouldn't have necessarily thought was needing to be said, but I've talked to some people before I talked to Holly, and they said, what's the bush? So she'll tell you what that is if you're not up with the Australian lingo. Really, really fun conversation. We're going to talk about minor survival tactics. We're going to talk about how she got involved in bush survival. We're going to talk about kind of the community slash commune she lives in Australia. We're even going to be joined by some backpackers in the background and some lizards that come in and out of her house. She's got a cockatoo that it didn't join the podcast because obviously they'd have a lot to say. I believe her cockatoo is rather loud. So we didn't speak to them, unfortunately, but we did speak to Holly, and she's really, really amazing. I held on to this for a couple weeks because I believe right after we spoke, she was heading off to Africa. So she's either still in the throngs of all of that, or she's back in Australia now. But yeah, really, really awesome conversation. I think you're going to really, really enjoy this one. If this is your first time listening, or you haven't already, even before you listen, because you know you're going to like it, go give that 5-star rating on Apple and on Spotify. Leave a written review on Apple. Helps a ton. Follow along on TikTok, on Instagram, on Facebook, Not Enough Podcast, Not Enough with Jackson Huff. All those places you can follow along. But I think you're really going to enjoy this one. Here is Holly Robertson. Robertson, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for agreeing to join me. Appreciate it very much. I'm going to let you kind of do the heavy lifting right out the gate. Just introduce yourself.
Hey, guys. My name's Holly. So I own and operate a business called the Australian Bush Survival School. And pretty much what I do is I take people out into the bush to learn about, you know, Australia, like survival skills, what to do if you get lost kind of thing.
No, I love it. We're gonna unpack a lot of that. But I guess I kind of want to start with something very basic, because, you know, when I book somebody, I always talk to people in my immediate circle, my wife, friends, that kind of stuff, just kind of say what they're going to be talking about, maybe get some questions from them. But what I realized, and people are going to know pretty quickly just by hearing you, that you're not, you know, you're not from the United States. You're, I believe, Australian, correct?
Yeah, that's right.
But what people, I guess some people in the United States didn't know, which I would have had no idea, people don't know what a bush is. Tell people what the bush is.
I guess like the bush is such an Australian term, but like, you know, the wilderness, like a forest, it's just something that like I describe, like with lots of gum trees and you got kangaroos running around, like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I, you know, when somebody asks me like what they're a bush guide, what's that? And I'm like, the Australian bush. The only thing I knew how to say is the Australian bush. So apparently it's a very Australian word. Does anywhere else call the forest a bush? I don't know if they do or not.
I think maybe in Africa I've heard it used once, but not really. It's very niche.
I gotcha. So, you know, we're going to talk obviously a lot about being out in the wilderness, in the bush. What got you interested in that world? Are you somebody who always just, you know, your parents had to beg you to come in for dinner, or did you kind of find that you liked the, you know, being outside later on in life, or what's that look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in the country. I rode horses growing up. Like, we just lived in a little regional town. And I didn't know bushcraft and survival was actually a thing. Like, I'd seen it on TV, but I was doing, it's called a bush tucker walk, which is basically a edible, medicinal, useful plant walk when I was on holidays. And that's when I met my late partner, and he was telling me all about his bush survival school and how he runs it and what he does. And I was like, oh my God, like, I have to be a part of that. And so, yeah, that was the starting point for me to get into it.
I like that for sure. I want to talk about the survival school. So I guess how did all that start? What did it exist before you came around?
Absolutely. So initially, my late partner started it in 2013. He ran it for about 10 years, and then over COVID, all tourism in Australia stopped, and that he's lost his business. So when I met him, he was in the process of rebuilding. So when I came in, we did a complete rebrand, changed the name, you know, brought it into this, like, this time, I guess, and made it accessible. And that's when we started it.
So I don't know if it's the same person. So when I was looking up your things, and I'll tell you something that's a little funny here in a second, but I found this cockatoo. Is it Cockatoo Paul? Is that your late partner?
It is.
Okay, tell. So you mentioned on Facebook, you know, the whole thing is kind of in, I guess, to honor his legacy. So talk a little bit about, I guess, what the work that he did in the field.
Absolutely. Oh, he's been in this industry in bush survival for 35 years. Like, he's absolutely brilliant. And he's taught me everything I know. We did all the business together. And yeah, basically, like, last year, there was a bit of a freak accident, and unfortunately, he passed away as a result. And I just knew, like, I couldn't let all this go to waste. I couldn't stop. So I just continued on everything he taught me and kept practicing and kept training and kept the business alive. And yeah, that's what I'm doing today.
I love that. And I said a moment of levity. The moment of levity to that is, you know, I saw on the Facebook page that were, it's all set up to honor the legacy of Cockatoo Paul, but I didn't know who that was. So I was looking, like, through the pictures. I'm thinking, is this all set up to honor this? Because you have a cockatoo. So I'm like, is it set up to honor? Has this bird passed away? But I'm like, no, she keeps on posting pictures of it. I don't think we're honoring the legacy of this unless she's got like a million videos of this bird that's passed away. So I thought it was a real bird for a little while.
And so there is a real bird. So that was his pet. He had him for 35 years. Yeah, so the bird's still alive and thriving. He's with me.
I love that. You said the bird's 35 years old?
Yeah, he's so cool. Yeah, he's done a whole lap of Australia. He's very well traveled.
It's his name is not Paul. It's is it
no,
what's it like peanut or
Pickles.
Something like that? Pickles. I said peanut. I had the wrong food. No, that's really cool. So you said that you guys kind of before COVID, you know, just like a lot of people, the world completely changed when COVID happened. You guys had to kind of change things. What does that look like? In my head, I would think, okay, the world of survival, bush survival, basically you're doing what people have survived for centuries and millennia. What had to change, I guess, after COVID? I feel like it would be, if anything would be similar, it would be something like that.
Yeah, so I wasn't around pre-COVID. I got there, we started this in 2023. So basically it's accessibility. So we're working with backpackers predominantly when we started this business. That's what he's always worked with. So it was making it accessible for them. It's social media, you know, having that reach. Like, previously in the past, he could walk around a hostel. Like, we work and live at a hostel and say, I've got this bush school. Do you guys want to come? And they'd be super keen on that. But, you know, these days people want to plan their travels out more. They want to do things differently. So that was my job, to find the link to make this accessible to as many people as possible. And yeah, that was the change. It was in the marketing.
I like that. So this is kind of the point I always like to, you know, we talk for such a short amount of time. The best way to learn about people, I guess, is through asking silly questions. Are you up for a game?
Go for it.
All right. So we'll Throughout the course, we'll play two, and this is the only time in the entire podcast that it helps to have ever listened to another episode. But if you haven't, it's perfectly okay. But I'm just going to tell you the name of the three games. You're going to pick one of them now, and then I'll tell you exactly what we're going to do in them. So the first one's called Podcast Realities. The next one's called Rapid Fire, Generally No Follow-Up. And then the final one's called Bravo, Your Picture's Being Framed. Which one do you want to play first? We're going to play two of them, so get in your mind the second one. But what one do you want to play first?
Let's go Rapid Fire.
Rapid Fire. All right. Now, this is going to be a little interesting, too, just because you are in Australia, so some of these things are going to be a little bit different. But Rapid Fire, it's a segment that I ask guests a series of Rapid Fire questions that I have strong opinions about the answers, but I do my best not to interject my thoughts. So here we go. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So you're in a hurry. You got to go get fast food. What is your to-go place and what's your to-go order? Maybe you don't even do that.
Yeah. Oh, no Mexican. I'll do a burrito any day of the week.
What kind of burrito?
Chicken, usually.
Like it. All right. You've got $3 to spend. What are you spending it on?
Chocolate peanuts.
Chocolate peanuts.
Super random. I'm a snack girly. Nuts.
I like it. Dogs or cats? Not
dogs.
Birds. All right. Dogs or cats? Birds. Or dogs. Socks with sandals. Is that acceptable or not acceptable?
Not down here anyway.
What's one place you've never been, but you've always wanted to visit?
New Zealand.
New Zealand. That's pretty close to you. So what's one song when it comes on, it just always gets you pumped? You're singing along, you're hyped because it's on.
I think Pony Club.
I like it. Conversely, what's one song that you hear and you just change the channel or you're out of the mood?
Anything by Justin Bieber.
All right. That was that one. That was Rapid Fire. Let's kind of get back to, I guess, the world of survival skills. So I interviewed somebody, oh goodness, it's probably been about a year ago. They were based in the United States, but they talked all about, you know, the world of survival and about how it's not just, you know, it's not just for people who want to go out and trek out into the wilderness and just live off the land. There's survival skills that everyone needs. There's whether you're stay-at-home mom or a business person who thinks I don't need to know what kind of plant you can eat, whether it's, you know, emergency situations, whether it's disaster recovery type things, there's always a need to know some basics. So I guess my question to you would be, what are some survival skills that you think that everyone needs? Now obviously that could be pretty broad, but what's some of the things that you think that everyone could benefit from maybe some of the things that you do?
First one's probably knot tying. It's a big foundation of my course, because when you're tying something to the roof of your car, like when I'm putting my surfboards up, I use the exact same knots as when I'm in the bush. Another one I think is animal behavior. So especially in Australia, like we've got lots of dangerous animals, and it's really important that if you want to go on a general hike, like, you know what a snake's going to react. You know how to handle a goanna. Just things like that. Everything's a bit different in different countries. Basic first aid. You know, if you get like an ant bite, we've got lots of biting things and lots of dangerous plants as well that can really mess you up. So basic first aid is a big one. And navigation too. Like, it's so common, I think, especially for like people in my age group, that they don't know what direction they're going. And just having a better understanding of the sun and the stars and how that actually works is really beneficial for a lot of people.
No, I think that's all huge. So, you know, I guess what is people coming to your school? What's that look like? I saw on your page that you recently, I think just a few weeks ago, had kind of a weekend that you brought people out. What's that look like? Somebody who signs up and comes to the school, what are they doing exactly?
Absolutely. So our two-day program. So pretty much what I do is I run a mobile business. So I've got a trailer and it's full of swags, which is like a tent that goes on the ground, and all the camping gear. So we'll go out and we'll do like spear throwing. We'll learn how to make a fire primitively, how to stack a fire properly, how to identify firewood, because a lot of people have never even done that before in this environment. We'll learn about like astronomy. We'll do all the basic survival priorities, cordage making, trap setting. We'll usually go and see glowworms or a waterfall or something really beautiful. So, and machete craft as well, shelter building. Like, I pack so much into 2 days. Everyone sleeps really, really well that night. But yeah, so pretty much it's just going out and experiencing the bush in a really chill, relaxed, supportive environment.
So are you sleeping out there too?
Absolutely. Yeah, we set up our swags and sleep under the stars. And that's pretty special for a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you, in one of your videos, when you were talking about, I guess, kind of edible plants, you mentioned a word and you just said it again that I don't know what it is. It starts with a C. I don't know what the word you're saying is.
Oh, no, which one is it?
Hard.
Oh, cordage. You're talking about cordage?
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, basically making
a
string out of plants. Yeah.
Okay. That's so easy. Yeah. Cordage, that makes sense. Cord, I could not figure out what you were talking about.
No,
okay. No, that makes sense. So I guess I want to kind of separate what life looks like when this is not, I guess, when you're not running this school. You talked about how you live at a hostel, which that's unique in itself. So I guess is you know, because, for instance, I had a gentleman on who ran one of the biggest medieval festivals in the country, I think actually in the world. But when he wasn't doing that, he was a businessman and kind of lived in probably a mansion. Like he lived two very separate lives. I don't feel like that's necessarily the case with you. What does life look like when you're not, I guess, teaching people how to survive out in the wilderness?
So my last 2 years, I've lived in a tent, I've lived in a shed, and I've lived in a caravan. And I wouldn't have it any other way. Like, it's completely by choice. When I was living in a tent in the bush, like, that is my preference. And it's just completely like a camp, outdoor kitchen, outdoor bathroom, water that we get from a creek. Like, we cook over a fire. That's my favorite way of living. So I've recently moved into the hostel. I've been here for the last 8 months. And same thing, like, we've got an outdoor shower here. There's a few hundred people and we all live in a place called the jungle. So it's literally like out beyond me is like this swamp land. And it's just, we got wallabies. And so I guess for me, I want to live in nature. I want to I'm preaching this as a lifestyle. I want to live it myself and practice these skills any opportunity I can get.
When you say hostel, a hostel to me is like a where people are coming and going. Is it a hostel, or is everyone that's there also living there full time too?
Bit of both. So we've got, it's divided into two sections. So I'm in the campground where there's some long termers. So people can stay for a few weeks to a few years. And then we've got the main part of the hostel where people will check in on their way up the East Coast. So I get to interact and meet so many people every week.
I got you. What's the difference when it comes to what you're doing? I guess difference between a hostel and a commune. It kind of sounds like you're living in a commune to me.
It's a little bit like that. When we were out in the bush, it was a bit more like that because we relied on each other. But here it's like, you know, town's 10 minutes away. It's, you have your friends, but it is a very big community environment here, but it's like, it's so many nationalities and we're coming and going all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pretty special.
Yeah, sounds cool. So you went from a tent to, it doesn't look like you're in, because I mean, I've talked to people that do like the van life. It looks a little bit bigger. What kind of, I guess, what's your housing look like now?
Yeah, so I'm in like a vintage, it's like a 1960s style caravan. So no, painted it bright pink, like it's just a super, it's old, but it does the job. And yeah, it's fun. I travel a lot. So I'll pack up in winter and go up to the tropics so I'm not here permanently.
Is the caravan movable?
No, it's really old. Yeah, it's fine.
Gotcha. So you obviously are living a lifestyle that is different than the average person. That doesn't make it, that makes it, I think, interesting to people. But what is, I guess, have you surrounded yourself so much with people that are doing the same thing that, you know, you rarely even know, I guess, how interesting the lifestyle is? Or do you spend time on the phone convincing your aunt that you haven't gone crazy?
Yeah, there's a bit of that going on. So to me, it's just become so normal and I wouldn't have it any other way. But a lot of my family, like, they're just kind of like, I don't think they understand, but they can see that I'm happy. They know that I love what I do. They don't really understand what I do completely, but, you know, it's fine. It's just me, I get on with it and I'm happy. So that's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. And I never, ever talk about people's age, except for you mentioned in your Instagram bio that you're the youngest bush survival school owner Now, that could mean you're very young, or it could mean, you know, that everyone else that owns one is 74 years old. So it's somewhere in the middle there, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. So, no, I'm 24. So most people in this industry have come from military experience, military training, and that's just something that I've had to deal with as I've navigated owning a business. Yeah, so I'm just trying to change that stereotype of, you know, people are telling me I need all this experience to make some string and identify plants. It's not hard. It's just practice. It's time, commitment, it's dedication. Anyone can do it. And just working on that stereotype in Australia and being like, nah, the girlies have got this. Like, we can go forward and do it. But in fact, anyone can, no matter what age.
Yeah, I mean, I can only imagine the stereotypes that you have to deal with sometimes. What I mean, I guess, where's the pushback the most? Is it your age and quote unquote experience? Is it, you know, being a female in the industry? Where do you get the most pushback, you think?
Interestingly enough, it's being a female. So I've had a few videos go viral and everyone thinks I'm a man. And it's so disheartening because I have to work, you know, so many times I walk into camping shops or tell people about my business and they think I'm making it up, like they don't think it's real. So I'm spending all this time where I feel like I have to prove myself and then just to be completely discredited and be like, nah, you're lying, you're actually a man. And when I'm like trying to represent, you know, females in the industry. So it's quite disheartening, but honestly, like, they're not my demographic. They're not my clients. I love what I do, and I'm not going to stop because of some Instagram comments. But yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, that's kind of the bad part about putting yourself out there, that you deal with a lot of crazy people. How have you dealt with the trolls? It sounds like, you know, you've got a good head on your shoulder when it comes to, hey, those people aren't my demographic anyway, so it doesn't really matter, but it still can sting sometimes. So how do you, I guess, kind of separate things and make sure it doesn't get to you?
I have an amazing support network around me. Like, a lot of my friends have worked in that space of social media. So they've really helped me to understand that, you know, like, these people, I'm never going to meet them in my life. It really doesn't matter. They're not going to cancel me. Like, it's not going to destroy my business. And just to keep like being authentic to myself and posting what I want to post. And that's what's sort of been my driving force in a lot of this. And it's really, really helped me. Yeah, get through all those little ups and downs that come with putting yourself out there, as you said.
Absolutely. Let's play that final game. So remember, we've got two left. Do you want podcast realities, or do you want Bravo, your pictures being framed?
Podcast realities.
All right. That one's probably the best one, given your current situation as you sit there. So, you know, I've interviewed people from all over the place, in people in various states of I guess confusion with what they're doing. So given that this podcast is not the video, other than a short reel, isn't normally being posted, very few people actually see what we look like as we're talking. So between iPhones being propped up on boxes, between cats running behind people's heads, there's always an interesting podcast reality. So I'm going to ask you five questions about just your surroundings as we talk. They're going to get progressively harder. None of them are too crazy. If any of them you don't want to answer, we can pass. Sound good to you?
Perfect. Let's go.
All right. So how are you joining us today? Are we talking on your phone, a computer, smoke signals? How are we talking?
Yeah, I've got a computer in my caravan. Luckily, they gave me power here.
That's good. All right. So sometimes people get all dressed up and have these amazing backgrounds behind them. Sometimes people come to me in their pajamas. So I always like to just ask, how much did you prep for this interview? You've got an awesome necklace on. I think you wear that quite a bit, though, so I don't know if that's special for this podcast, but how much did you prep? And I'm going to add to that, given the time difference, it's like 10 a.m. there. So if you prepped, you had to get up earlier, so hopefully not too much.
Yeah, I've actually got another interview after this, so it was kind of convenient where I was like, I could just get ready and get myself sorted. My background screen's a lot wider than I thought it was going to be, so that's fine, but that's okay. But the necklace too, I make and sell roadkill jewelry, and all ethically sourced. So that's like, yeah, something that's special to me and I wear all the time, no matter what.
I love that. We you and I have been talking back and forth. This is the time, I guess, is there any animals in the room that didn't get their 15 minutes of fame? Is there a scared dog on the ground? Is there a cat meowing at you, any animals in the room?
I actually have this goanna that lives in my caravan and a python that lives under the caravan. But I had to put the cockatoo away for this interview because he starts screaming and he doesn't stop. And it's really distracting.
I can only imagine. What's a goanna?
Sorry. Oh, did I say goanna? I meant, what's the animal? It's a lizard, a gecko. I meant a gecko.
It's
like
a
tiny little transparent lizard. And he just runs around the roof and he's really chill. He doesn't do anything.
So he's not captive. He's living his own best life.
No, I don't know how he gets in and out, but he does. And that's okay.
Did you name him?
Not yet. We've been talking about it. I've only recently discovered him. Hasn't been eaten by the snake yet.
You said we've been talking about it. You and the gecko or?
My friends are all around. We all have different animals that come into our tents and vans. So it's common.
No, I love that. Two more questions. I always leave it to TMI about whether my guests are wearing pants. But what I like to ask is, this is a professional interview. Did you show up to the interview wearing shoes or at the very least socks?
No, I'm barefoot. And I'm pretty much always barefoot in life.
You know, I if you would have picked that one, I figured that much given your videos. I think you even go outside without shoes, which is... That's how you can tell. I feel like a true wildlife person because I don't know if I could do that. I think I'm literally too soft.
That's fair. It's very optional shoes around here anyway.
So don't worry. I'm not going to ask you to actually do it. But if you were to turn your camera around three, you all at all embarrassed about in your, I normally say the room, but in your instance, are you at all embarrassed with the state of the caravan?
Oh my God. No, I actually wish I could because this faces my window and I have this beautiful jungle swampland directly out the front of my van. And it's incredible. I'm so lucky.
Yeah, that does sound awesome for sure. Yeah. That's the last game there. So let's get back to the regular questions. I guess we already talked before we just played that silly game about how, you know, you deal with some trolls occasionally, and that comes with, you know, just being online. And what I wanted to ask you about that is because I've watched your Instagram reels and those type of things, and that stuff takes time. So you put a lot of work into that. What made you want to, I guess, go in that direction, given that, you know, obviously if we're talking about wilderness survival, you know, that isn't always the first thing people are thinking. It's great for us who aren't involved in it to be immersed in that and gotten the success that you've found online just because people like to learn about it. But what made you decide, hey, social media is something that I want to spend the time on and it's something that I want to, invest a little bit into?
Yeah, absolutely. So America might be a little bit of a different story, but in Australia, bushcraft and survival is very gate kept. It's really expensive to go and do a course. Unless you did scouts growing up, you're probably not going to know much about the ins and outs of it. So what I wanted to do was make it accessible and make it fun. Like when I see an older guy, like just dry speaking about a plant, like I can't do it. Like I cannot sit through it. And I love this stuff. So I've just tried to make it like my workshops are funny, like they're fun, they're very interactive. And I've tried to make online a bit of a reflection of that. But I guess accessibility is my main driving behind all of this.
Yeah. So what's the biggest challenges you've found now that you've decided to try to make things more accessible? Accessibility means a lot of people that can access it that maybe aren't any fun, but what's the biggest challenges that you found in all of it?
I think it's like the accuracy, like now that because it's on display for so many people, if I make one mistake or mispronounce a word, or because I haven't got a degree in like botany, like I'm covering so many fields. So it's like if I make one plant mistake, someone will be like, oh, this is wrong, but it'll be like a name that's wrong. And that's really hard because I'm trying to be like perfect about it. But when it comes to survival, the information's so like, it's, you know, indigenous tribes around the world, or it's from what people have practiced or what I've gone out and learned. And people are like very contentious about certain things. So it's a very fine line that I'm constantly navigating of like, I don't want to say the wrong thing. I want the information to be correct because, you know, it's survival. It's so important that it's correct. So that's just something that I'm always like, make it as good as possible. And I have to accept that if someone misperceives what I'm trying to say, that's not me, like that's on them, and they can interpret my information however they want. They don't have to go out in the bush and do it. And that's the best part about it.
Absolutely. How structured is, I guess, is your content? Is it something about, you know, 3 months from now, you know what your video is going to be about? Is it more like, you know, shoot from the hip and you decide something to make a video on? What's that look like?
Absolutely. There's some things that I do plan, but majority of the time I'll just be out in nature and I'll see a plant and be like, oh, I just read this book about it and just start talking about it. And I'm really fortunate that I'm able to travel a lot around Australia and I access so many different ecosystems here. And each of them have their own pocket of unique survival skills and strategies. So I just try to, like, you know, I'll film a couple of days in advance, but just keep going with wherever I am and make the most of it.
Yeah, and you talk about traveling around Australia a lot. So, I mean, you've dealt with a lot of different environments. But I guess the question to you would be, is survival skills, is the basics universal? If we brought you here to the United States and not in the bush, you wouldn't call that, but we put you out into the forest, do you feel like you would have those same successes, or is it, you know, kind of area specific and it wouldn't go as well?
100%. So I work with a lot of international people. So the skills I teach, I make sure that when they go back to Germany or Spain or whatever, they can do these skills. Interestingly enough, with weeds, so weeds are actually accessible. It's, you know, followed our footprint. So they're all over the world. So a lot of, like, forest areas in America have the same plants as us, and it's just about finding them and working out the fishing systems and working out the trapping systems. So, you know, they do all circle back around, and hopefully it'd be challenging, like, don't get me wrong, but yeah, have a go of it anywhere.
For sure. You know, if anybody was thinking, hey, she's making this all up, she's really living in a posh high rise and, you know, in Adelaide or something, some woman just walked by your window with a huge backpack on, looking like she's about ready to go out into the bush herself. So you're immersed in it, just like you say you are, right?
Oh, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. What I want you to do is just tell people how they can follow along. People, should they get to Australia and want to, you know, want to check out your actual school, mention that too. I do have some Australian listeners. I checked before we talked and looked at the demographics. So you are talking to some of your own kind. So talk a little bit about that, your social media, and then, you know, to those who can make it out to where you are.
Yeah, unreal. So yeah, I'm on Instagram and TikTok. So aus.bush.survival.school, like aus.bush.survival.school, Australian Bush Survival School you can put in. And that's on Facebook and a little bit on YouTube as well. So all of my courses, I'm about to announce them in a couple months for my next winter and spring block. They do book out quite quickly, but hopefully I'll be running one in Queensland, one in New South Wales, and one in Victoria. So just trying to make it as accessible as possible, and they'll all be promoted through mostly Instagram. And yeah, I guess that's the way to come along and join in, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, no, I really, really appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
No, thank you so much. I really enjoyed it.
So that was Holly Robertson. Really appreciate her time. Enjoyed learning about the Australian bush. I've never been to Australia. I don't know a lot about it, but I enjoyed hearing about just her passion behind, you know, all things bush survival. She's made it a literal career at this point. I just emailed her a moment ago asking a question, and I got an auto reply that says, I'm out on the bush for days without any cell phone reception. So I feel like that's something that a lot of us probably strive to be able to do at some point, to be able to get off the grid just at least a little bit. Whether you want to go to Australia and have to potentially battle some dangerous things, not necessarily battle, but try to avoid some dangerous things anyways, or whether, you know, you just kind of want to be able to check out, I think that's something we all want, and that's something that Holly has been able to achieve. So that's awesome for sure. All the links to her information will be in the show notes, the links to her survival school, the links to all her social media, all that kind of stuff. Check it out in the show notes. If this is your first time listening, you haven't already, just like I said in the beginning of the episode, go leave a 5-star rating on Apple and Spotify. Helps a ton. Leave a written review on Apple. Helps even more. Go follow along on Instagram, on TikTok, Not Enough Podcast, Not Enough with Jackson Huff on Facebook, all those places. Really appreciate you following along. We'll see you next time. Take it away, Chris.
This has been Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us next time, where we will interview another amazing guest who is sure to make you laugh or make you think, or hey, maybe even both. But until then, keep being awesome.